There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Our Lord answered, said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it will, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John chapter 3. The title of my message this morning is Four Revelations, here in John chapter 3. And all four of these revelations, all four of these things that's revealed to Nicodemus and to us, are through verses 14 and 20. And what is happening here is our Lord Jesus Christ is talking to a Pharisee, a man of the Pharisees. Describes him very vividly, a Pharisee. Paul said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Pharisee, I mean, he was way up there. These fellas were the smartest, the best living. When they went out in public, the first thing they did when they got home was wash themselves very, very good. They were so dedicated. They put a fundamentalist to shame. Put them to shame. But here we have a Pharisee. And then it says down here in verse 10, it said he's a master of Israel. That's a master in Israel. That'd be like saying, you know, he's got a master of doctorate. You know, he's got a master's degree. Well, here's a master in Israel. Somebody that's got rule over them, got able to teach and able to guide them and able to be over. People served him, waited on him, said, went to him to answer questions. And that's our Lord just said, but you're a master of Israel, and evidently you don't know anything. You don't know anything. And then the Lord Jesus tells him the necessity of the new birth. And Nicodemus asked him this question in verse 9. And said, how can these things be? How can a man be born again? How can a man be born of water and the Spirit? How can a man be born from above? Well, our Lord Jesus is going to tell him. He said, now I'm going to tell you earthly things. He said, I'm going to tell you things that's easy to understand. I'm going to tell you about love. I'm going to tell you about light. I'm going to tell you about faith. I'm going to tell you about condemnation. I'm going to tell you about things that's so easy to understand. I can't tell you heavenly things because you can't even understand earthly things. So I'm going to tell you some earthly things because you couldn't understand if I told you heavenly things. And so here's the first thing, the first revelation we have. And he said, I've told you earthly things you shall not believe, so I'm going to tell you. And he said, here's the first thing you told him. And this is why he speaks in earthly language, things that that Nicodemus would find so easy to understand. And he says, and as Moses, verse 14, here's the first revelation. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here's God revealing to us, and Lord revealing to Nicodemus, how God provided for sinners. How he provided for them. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, and Moses lifted it up, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Well, if you want to find out, go to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. And we'll see just exactly what he's talking about. Why was the serpent lifted up? Why did Moses lift up that serpent? Now, Nicodemus knew why it was lifted up. And he knew the results of it being lifted up. Why it was lifted up and the consequences of it being lifted up. But why was that serpent lifted up? Well, we're going to tell us right here. Look what it says in verse 4. Numbers 21, 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They didn't like God's way. This is the way God brought them. He just brought them out of Egypt. Just took them through the Red Sea. Saw all kinds of signs down in Egypt. And here they are along the way, and they ain't been out there no time at all, and they're discouraged because they don't like the way that God's taken them. And I tell you what, but most folks don't like the way that God's taken them. Don't like the way God does in His own world. Don't like how He deals with people in His own world. But this is God's world. And they were discouraged because of the way. God help us not get discouraged because of the way. And then in the people, now listen to this. Here's another reason why it's lifted up. The people spake against God. Can you imagine people speaking against God after what God had done for them? Surely, surely. But I tell you, beloved, it's as common as people to speak against God now as it is for us, me and you, to breathe. And they spake against God. Anytime you say anything that's not honoring to Him, He said, you spake against Him. And then they spake against Moses. Moses, God used Moses. And then they said, why in the world have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? If He's able to bring them out, don't you think He's able to take them in? If He's able to part the Red Sea, don't you think He's able to get you into Canaan? And He said, there's no bread. Not any water. And our soul loathes what God's provided for us. It's not enough. It's not good enough. It don't meet our needs. And listen to this. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Why was that serpent lifted up? Because they sinned. They spoke against God. They didn't like God's way. They rebelled against God. They spoke against God. Spoke against His way. Spoke against His servant. Spoke against Him. Spoke against His provision. Everything that they needed, God gave to them, and they wasn't still satisfied. Now, look what happens now. Therefore, and I mean, they began to die. And they should have died. You men that hate God ought to die. And they're going to die. Men that despise God ought to die. Brad sent me a link this week, and there's this fellow that says that God, Christ a preacher stood in front of his church on Easter and said, I tell you that if Jesus was here today, he would be for gay marriage. He would evolve because he didn't know everything there was to know when he was on the earth. Hell ain't half full. Jesus didn't know everything while he was here. That man ought to go to hell today before the sun goes down. But God lets people live that error must be made manifest that the truth will stand out. But a man that hates God, rebels against God, and speaks against God, and don't like God's dealing with him, he ought to perish. And the only thing that will keep us from perishing is the grace of God Himself. Now look what they said. And therefore the people came to Moses and said, we sinned. That's the first thing you'll say when you understand you sinned against God. I sinned. Like that, what that prodigal said to his father. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. That's the first thing going to come out of you. That publican, he smote his breast and he said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And look what he says now. And we've spoken against the Lord. I mean, they told the sins that they done. And against you. Now, would you please have mercy on us? And would you pray to the Lord? Would you call on the Lord for us? Oh my. That he take away these servants from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now listen to what happens now. A remedy's got to be paid, made for these people who sinned. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. A fiery serpent. And set it on a pole. And I mean, this was made out of brass, and it looked just like the serpents that had bit them people. But it wasn't a serpent that bit them. It was just the likeness of it. And Christ came in the likeness of sinful flesh. You know, a serpent that bit them, it had to be made in the likeness of it. And Christ was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now watch what he said. Set it on a pole. Set it up high where people can see it. Set it up where folks can be way far away and they can look up and see it. Set it where everybody can see it. Set it up there where folks can ever, you know, people that's bitten can look at it. And watch what happened. When they look upon it, they shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now Nicodemus could understand that language. So this is how in the world I'm going to be saved. And Moses, I now know Moses why he lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. I know why he did it, and I know what happened when people looked, they lived. And that's what I back over in our text. That's what our Lord said. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why must he be lifted up? The same reason the serpent lifted up. Because of sin. Because of rebellion. And I tell you what, beloved, he's lifted up on the cross. And he said he was lifted up on that cross for one reason. And that was to be made sin. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, my soul, to her Christ, who is sinless and perfect and holy in body, mind, and soul. That there said that he says in verse 13, he said the Son of Man even came down from heaven, and the Son of Man which is in heaven. How is he on earth and in heaven at the same time? I tell you how he is, because he's both God and man. When he spoke to his Father, he is speaking to the Spirit. God is a Spirit, and he's here and there at the same time. And the Scriptures tells us that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to make his soul an offering for sin. The Lord laid on him, just like that likeness of that brazen serpent. But their sin wasn't put on that brazen serpent. Our sins was charged to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our ignorance, our rebellion, our hatred, our enmity, everything that we had in us that's against God, Christ took it to himself. And if God wounded him, he made his soul an offering for what? Sin. Huh? And all sin and ignorance and rebellion and the enmity that we have in our hearts against God, it must be dealt with before there can ever be a new birth. Sin's got to be took care of. It's got to be dealt with. The new birth, what it does, it changes a man's heart. It brings him into a new relationship with God, gives him a new nature with this new birth. And he, beloved, he's got to have his sin dealt with before there'll ever be a birth from above. And that's why Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" He said, "I'm going to tell you so you can understand it." And I'll tell you something, beloved, John 3:16 is not the gospel. The gospel's in verse 14. That's the gospel. Gospel's not in John 3:16. And I know that's what the gospel's here in John 3:14. There's where Christ was lifted up. There's where sin was dealt with. There's where God was honored. There's where justice was satisfied. There's where the law was fulfilled. There's where the curse was there. There's where redemption was accomplished. And I tell you, beloved, as he said, you look back yonder what Moses did. And I tell you what, just like they looked back and told them what Moses did, we look to what Christ did. My sin was taken care of back there 2,000 years ago. My faith didn't take care of it. My prayers didn't take care of it. My sincerity didn't take care of it. My tears didn't take care of it. That is born of the flesh. All that will ever be is flesh. Christ put away my sin 2,000 years ago and bore my sin in His own body on the tree 2,000 years ago. The gospel came and told me what Christ did for me. And that's why he goes on to say, now listen, and then a revelation of this love. There's a revelation of how God provides for it, but then there's a revelation of the love of God here. In verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now listen to me. God so loved. And the reason that he did is that he gave his only begotten Son. Now that's what he's talking about. He gave his Son to the cross. This is telling why the gospel came. This is telling why the gospel Christ was come to be. This is the effect. John 3:14 is the effect of the love of God. Christ on the cross is the effect of the love of God. Huh? A blessed, glorious love of God. And let me tell you something. It's just so simple. It's just so simple. And that's why our Lord said, I'm telling you earthly things here. God's love is revealed in who he gave to redeem us. Who did he give to redeem us? Who did he give to be lifted up high? Huh? It says here, his only begotten Son. God had one Son. Only one. Only one. God commendeth us love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was the light of his Father. You read Proverbs chapter 8 and you'll see there that he daily was the delight of his Father. His Father would look at him and find such joy in him and rejoice in him and had such delight in him as he walked in, as he filled up heaven with his glory before he ever came here. That glory that he had with the Father before the world was, the Father would just, oh, he rejoiced so in his Son, delighted so in his Son. I'll tell you, you take these little babies and you just sit and watch them and watch them and watch them, and they'll grin a little, move a little, goo-goo a little bit like that, and we just get enamored with them. Do you, of course, that's the way we are when it's flesh. Imagine what it is when it's God. Huh? And oh, beloved, if we're enamored with our sons and our grandsons and our great-grandchildren, imagine what God is with his Son. And he always pleased his Father. That means he always satisfied him, always honored him. And the Scriptures tells us he was in the bosom of the Father. And what does that mean? That means the Father held him in his heart. held him in his bosom, held him tight, held him close. This is the son of my love. This is the son of my heart. This is the son of my soul. This is the son of my... This is him. This is him. And he held him, and he was... And he was full. When he sent him here, he sent him full. And he came full. Full. Completely full of grace and truth. And all he told us that he came down from heaven. And then it says here that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I tell you, when he gave him, do you know what he gave him to? Gave him to a poor man's family. Gave him to be born in a poor man's family, in a poor man's stable. Gave him to poverty. Gave him to poverty. Poverty, poverty. Gave him to where he had to work like everybody else did. Gave him to this world as his word. You won't hear from God, you're going to hear through me. Gave him to be hated, to be rejected, to be despised. Gave him into the hands of men to smite him, to pluck out his beard, and to crown his head with thorns. And take his back and have his back beaten bloody and raw. Gave him up to the devices of wicked men. Gave him up to the curses of the law. And then finally gave him up to the cross. And then when he put him there, he turned his back on him. And said, "I'll turn out the lights so nobody can see the awful suffering and agony you're going to go through because of my justice and because I find sin to be on you." And oh, beloved, and let me tell you two reasons why he gave Christ to the cross. Gave him up, gave his only begotten son, the son of his love. The first reason, and it's the first reason, if you don't get anything else I say today, get this. God crucified his son and put him on that cross. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. First, to satisfy himself. God's got to do something for us before he can never do anything. He's got to do something for himself before he can never do anything for us. Huh? These people sinned. Well, how in the world? The innocent must be put in the place of the guilty. The sinless must be put in the place of the sinful. The obedient one must be put in the place of the disobedient. The righteous one must be put in the place of the unrighteous. And so when God put his son on the cross, the reason that it got dark and the reason he pulled down the curtains of heaven is he didn't want this world to see what was going on in that dark hour, those 3 hours. There our Lord Jesus Christ was facing the awful fierceness of the wrath of God. And he tread that winepress alone. And the fire of God's wrath came down on him. This is the son that he loved. But God hates sin. Sin must be punished. Justice must be satisfied. God's holiness must be honored. God's righteous nature must be satisfied. And why did he do all this? Because he loved the world and sent his son high. So he done it first to satisfy himself. And the second reason was to redeem his people out from under the curse of the law, to put away all their sin once and for all by the sacrifice of Christ. And how could he do that? He had to provide a substitute. A substitute. When God calls me at the judgment, and then I'll tell you, 2 Corinthians 5 says that we all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm before God in judgment now, And I tell you right now, when I stand before Him, I'll stand there before Him just exactly like I stand right now. In Christ. He was my substitute in death. He's my representative in life. And He'll be my advocate before the Father when it's all said and done. Huh? So He's my salvation back yonder. He's my salvation now. And He'll be my salvation at the end. That just about makes you want to holler. That makes you want to... Oh, my. And let me tell you something else. So it's revealed in whom He gave to redeem us, His only begotten Son. And God's love is revealed in who it is that He loved. Look what it says here. For God so loved the world. The world. Oh my. Now what? Let me ask you something. What did John say was in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And God gave His Son for that? Huh? Oh my. All that's in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Oh my. You ain't never had any of that. Have you? You never been like that, have you? You ain't never had lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life. Uh-huh. And oh, beloved. And then the kind of people that were in the world. When God passed by that infant, cast out in Ezekiel 16, there He was. Looked at that infant. Cast out to the loathing of His person. Loathing of His person. His person was loathed. And He had never been washed. He had never been swaddled. It is in His cord was still stuck to His father, Adam. And God passed by and saw that infant loathsome in His sight. Saw it polluted in its own blood. And you know what He said? Live. And you know when it was that when this time come by when He saw it? Scripture said it was the time of love. He came by in the time of love. And you know what He done with that time of love? He says, you know, you're loathsome. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to swaddle you. And then I'm going to cover you. But it was a time of love. Is that what He done to us? Loathsome, polluted, cast out. And we loathed. And He came to us in the time of love. And He washed us and swallowed us and covered us and covered our nakedness and put jewels on us even. And He said, look what I'm perfect in my perfection. And oh, not only was it a world, there's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, a world of people full of hate, lust, lost and loathsome and polluted, but a world of lost sheep, world of lost sinners. A world of people dead in sins, aliens from God, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But this is the kind of people that He came into this world to save. Look with me and keep John 3 and look in Romans 8:32 just a moment. Romans 8:32. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world to save sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief. And oh my. And everything that I've said about the world, I have been and I am. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Polluted in my blood. United to Adam. Nothing. Nothing to offer. Dead in sin. Aliens from God. But God is love. God is love. And look what He said here. And now He said in Romans 8:32, talking about God gave His Son. Listen to this. He that spared not His own Son. They say, spare the rod and spoil the child. that, oh, God didn't spare His Son. Whatever was necessary to satisfy Himself and to put away our sin, God held nothing back. He didn't spare Him when He stood before Herod. He didn't spare Him when He stood before the Pharisees. He didn't spare Him from the hatred and rejecting. He didn't spare Him when He stood before Pilate. He didn't spare Him when He was hanging on the cross. He did not spare Him. He said, I can't. There was never a time when God said, oh, I've got to make it easier. I've got to make it easier. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I can't spare you. If it be possible, I can't spare you. Were you going to forsake me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can't spare you. I can't let up. Not a moment. Not a moment until sin is finally put away, and when Christ said it is finished, that was when it was over. Not till then. And now look with me over in John. 1 John chapter 4 real quick. I want you to see this. God's love came from His very nature. God so loved that it came from His very nature. John chapter 4. You know, God's love didn't begin in time. It began in eternity. And God's love comes from His very nature. And if you've seen people that said, boy, they seem so loving. They're so loving. Well, God is love. Ain't that what it says here in verse 16? John 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Not that God is a God of love. God is love. He is love. It's His very nature. And where there's love, it must be expressed. When you see people that you love in trouble and need, boy, you're right there. Just Johnny on the spot. When you see people you love hurting, you hurt. And all it says, God is love, and God love, that's His very nature. And where there's love, it must be expressed. And then look what He says down here in verse 9 of John chapter 4. In this was manifested the love of God. God so loved the world that He gave. God manifested His love toward us. It's toward the world of sinners, the world of people, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eye, toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God. We was those people in numbers. Discouraged, murmuring, complaining. And oh, but not that we love God, but listen to it, that He loved us. How do we know He loved us? He sent His Son. What did He send Him to do? To be the propitiation, the sacrifice, the atoning victim for our sins. And bless His holy name. His love didn't start in time. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with cords of a man, with Christ I've drawn you. God, who is rich in mercy and love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Having loved His own, He loved them to the very end. Now look back over in our text. Let me show you the third revelation. First of all, we see how God provided for us. He revealed to us Christ lifted up for sin. A revelation of God's blessed love and all the things that goes with that. Then He shows us the way of life. He reveals to us the way of life. He says in verse 15, it says, Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. Christ's going to be lifted up. Now listen to it. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the way of life. Christ has been lifted up. He was lifted up because God loved the world. And why did he lift him up? Why did God love the world? And he lifted up that you believe in him. Whosoever believes, now listen to it, in him. In him. In him. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice here it says, whosoever believeth. Both places says believeth. Now this believeth means that what you believe is not, you know, you go back to 15 years ago when you believed. You believe. He that believeth continually believeth, believeth, believeth. Do you believe? And that's what he said. Believeth. It's a continuing believing. I believe, I shall believe. Peter says, there's no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And oh, listen, listen, listen now. What a glorious, glorious word. When it says, whosoever. Oh, that's a big word. Whosoever. Now, I'll tell you what that means to me. That means that it includes me. It doesn't exclude you or me. There's no name given. It says, whosoever. And our Lord, one of the things that he commended so several times was faith. He commended faith. Great is thy faith. Great is her faith. No such faith have I seen in all of Israel. And beloved, he commended faith. Now let me tell you what faith is. Faith in his person. Faith in his person. Not faith in what he did, faith in him. Oh, faith in his person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Faith in his power. Power to put away sin. Power to save. Power to continue to save you. Power to bring your sheep to himself. Power to pick you up out of the wilderness and carry you all the way home. And then you have faith in his work. Faith in his work. Look in Romans 10 with me just a moment. I hope I'm not taking too long. I hope you're not getting weary. But I tell you this, as I told Mary this morning, I've got an awful good outline if the Lord's pleased to bless it. But Romans 10, look what it says in verse 12. Oh my, faith in his person, faith in his power, faith in his work. And I tell you what, you get Christ, you get everything he did. You not only get him, you get everything he did. You get him, his work, his person, his presence, his power, his righteousness, his obedience. Everything that Christ is, you get. You get all of it. Look what he says in Romans 10:12. He says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. No difference between men or nation or anybody. For the same Lord over all is rich. Now listen to this. Rich. I mean, he'll bless you with wealth unto all that call upon him. Now listen to it now. For whosoever. Now see if that said, had names in there. Then we'd be in trouble. But whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Shall call. Now listen to it. The distinction's here. Upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Well, how then shall they call in him, on him, in whom they have not believed? You going to call on Christ if you don't believe him? If you believe him, are you calling on him right now? I call on him. Oftentimes, all I can say is, Lord, have mercy. Me and Mary both go around saying, oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, be merciful. That's all we say sometimes. That's all we say. Sometimes we'll go a whole day and that's all that comes out of our mouth. Either that, Lord, have mercy, or Lord, thank you for your mercy. And listen to this now. And how are you going to call on Him if you have not believed Him? If you believe Him, are you calling on Him? I believe Him. I'm calling. And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? I'm telling you about Him right now. Have you heard? He that heareth my voice shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live. My sheep hear my voice. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Oh, bless His name. And oh, beloved, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Oh, do you believe? Do you hear that voice? Do you believe? Are you calling on Him? Oh, I believe some of you are calling on Him right now. You hear and you call. You hear and you call. And oh, beloved, listen, let me go back over here in our text. Whosoever believeth in Him. Oh, God reveals this way of life, this way of salvation, this way of being made a new creature. And our Lord said, you know, you must be born again. Of being this way of life, this way of salvation, of being made a new creature, this new birth that God gives is threefold. Threefold. Let me show you what happens. When you believe on Christ and you come to Him and you believe Him, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. He's saved from his present condemnation right now. And that word condemn means judgment. You know, they go and say this, I condemn you to life in prison. I condemn you to the electric chair. That's the judgment passed on a person. And God's judgment's passed on a person. And then He said that believeth on Him, God's judgment's gone. As far as your conscience is gone and your understanding is gone. Huh? And then it's not only that, but it's salvation from future condemnation. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And that's why it says, shall not perish. No, you'll never perish. Salvation from future condemnation, you're brought into everlasting life. Should not perish. And when it talks about perishing here, it says you won't perish like the old world. You know, the old world was overthrown with water, but Noah was saved. You won't perish like the old world, but you'll be saved like Noah was saved. In the ark, in Christ. You'll not perish like the Sodomites perished, but have life like Lot, even if God has to come and drag you out of Sodom. And He will. And you'll not perish like that foolish builder who built his house on the sand, but you'll have life like that wise builder who built his house on the stone. You'll not perish like that rich man, but you'll have life like Lazarus, who was poor and the dog licked his sore. You'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And where's this life at? It's in Christ. You have Him, you have life. You have Him, you have life. Christ, who is our life. Life. And then not only that, but you'll have assurance of eternal life. Look what He says there. In verse 18, He said, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Oh my. Is not condemned. And I tell you what, beloved, no justification before God, believing in any work that you've ever done, anything you've ever done, or any church you've ever went to, any creed you believe, beloved, salvation and eternal life is believing, trusting in Christ and Him alone. Huh? Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Whom I have believed. Now the rest, you'll go home this afternoon, most of y'all will. And after you ate dinner today, you'll go home and you'll either get in bed or you'll get in your chair. And in a little while, you'll relax and you'll go sleep. But you'll be relaxed. Now see, when Christ fills you, and He feeds you, you can just lay back in Him and rest. Huh? Have you ever tried this with your kids when they were real, real little? Put them up on some high place or something and stand, you know, close to them and say, jump, jump, jump. And they'll start, and they'll start, and they'll start. And it takes them a while to trust you, but after a while, they'll jump. Well, let me tell you something. If you trust Christ, you'll jump. It's not only will you jump, you'll just fall over in His arms. Huh? Trust me. Come on, jump, jump. I'll catch you. I'll catch you. Listen, you fall into Christ's arms, just fall in them. He'll catch you. Just say, Lord, sink or swim, here I come. And I'll tell you this, if you do that, Christ will catch you. He's already got you before you jump. He's big enough to hold us all, carry us all. Let's all just jump together. All right, let me give you the last thing here. A revelation of the provision and God's great love. Revelation of revealing of the way of life in Christ through faith in Him. Never perish, have everlasting life. But then there's an awful revelation here of an awful, awful future and prospect if you don't come to Christ. Look what He said in verse 19. And this is the condemnation. If you don't believe in Christ, this is the condemnation, that light has come into this world. Light. Light. Oh my, light. Turn on the light so I can see. Light. Where do you need light at? People that's in darkness. But this light come into the world and make this an awful condemnation of the human race. Men love darkness. Would rather live in the darkness rather than light. And the reason being, because their deeds are evil. They're sinful. Everything they've done was evil. If I come out in the light, then everybody see how evil I am, how wicked I am, how deceitful I am, how loathsome I am. Look what He said in verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil, sin, hates the light. You don't hate the light, do you? Huh? Oh, you get up of the morning, that sun this morning is so bright, so warm. Sit out there and you feel that sun coming down on you, and you sit there and you say, oh Lord, thank you. Oh, so glad to feel that heat. Mary said, you know, bless her heart, she ain't got any hair, and I hold on. She had to sit out there this morning, let that sun beat on her head. She said, it makes my head feel so good. Listen now. Oh, haste the light, neither comes to the light. This is the reason they won't come. You see, Christ is the life. He's the life. And those who love spiritual death and not the spiritual light, oh my, why won't they come to this? They said here, everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light. And here's the reason. Because if you do, you'll have to admit that my deeds were evil and you don't want them discovered. Oh God, help us. What could you keep hid from Him? And look what He says there in verse 20. Why won't you come to the light? You don't want to be reproved. You want to be discovered. Oh my, because their deeds were evil. But now look what He said in verse 21. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that God wrought this in me. God changed my nature. He gave me a new heart. He gave me a new birth. Now my deeds, I don't care if He inspects them or where He looks at them, because they're wrought. God done these things for me. And I don't care if He looks at them and sees them. Huh? And let me show you, let me close out with Psalm 139, and I'm done. Psalm 139 and verse 23.
May this be your prayer today.
May it be mine. Oh, Lord Jesus. Save your people. Save your people. That's what our Lord Nicodemus, you know, he that loves the truth. He told Nicodemus the truth. And he made it in very, very understandable language. And guess what? Nicodemus came and stood up for him. I believe Nicodemus was saved by the grace of God. But look what he said here in verse 23. Psalm 139. Talking about our deeds were evil. Come to the light. That our deeds wrought in God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Try me. And know my thoughts. Bring out the light. Just bring me right out into the light. And see. See in my heart. See in my thoughts. And if there is any wicked way in me, in my thoughts and in my heart, lead me from them in the way of everlasting life. Huh? Are you in the light? Our gracious, gracious Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for the truth as it is in Christ. The gospel overwhelms me. Oh, it just fills my heart. Gives me such peace, such joy, such comfort, such strength. And bless it to the hearts of him here today. Lord, I know, like you told Paul told Festus, I know you believe. I know you believe. And Lord, I know there are people here believe. God bless them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Make Christ precious to us who believe. Make Him precious to our hearts, our faith, our lives, our understanding, our love. Make Him precious to us. In His blessed and holy name I pray. Amen. Amen.